AJ said he was really, really nervous. I said, don't worry about it. I'm as nervous as you are. But this morning, we began a series about a month ago called True Love. And we've been looking at 1 John specifically. And in our series, it's been exciting. I don't know about you, but just how, you know, God's love is incredible. God's love is amazing. And we've talked and we've looked at different areas of what love looks like from this God who gives true love. And if you'd like to follow along, I have that in my outline here, but there is an outline, and it's of a green color. It's a half page inside the FYI, which is a church bulletin, if you'd like to follow along that way. And also, you can follow along if you just by showing of your hand. The ushers would be glad to get you a Bible if you'd like to follow along there, because we're going to be looking today at John, 1 John 2:28. Through chapter 3 and verse 10. And while you're grabbing your outlines and getting Bibles, two things to remember. Next Sunday, which is Father's Day, Greg Austin will be here and sharing with us. And so mark that on your calendar. And also 2 weeks out, which is June 27th, Pastor Carlos Rodriguez from the Potter's House, which is in Lare, Puerto Rico, where we as the youth team are going, he will be here and sharing on that Sunday. So hopefully you can mark your calendars and save the dates for the next two Sundays. So as we take time to talk about and process this true love, several weeks ago, we heard from George Murray, where he talked to us about forgiving love and how Christ purifies us, and how when Christ purifies us, that process begins for us to become more like Jesus. Chick Wasson also took time to share with us about enlightening love, where Chick shared with us that true love only comes from God and that Christ's light will shine through us. Last week, Scott Menon shared with us about eternal love and that if we stay focused on Christ, he will help us have the discipline to go through this life, to live and understand that there is eternal love, who is God, and he's waiting for us. And that brings us to today. That brings us to transforming love, as John continues to write to the early Christians. Now, how many of you, where did I put my bag? Okay, here we go. How many of you know about the Transformers? Not the things that keep your electricity going, but the movie, Transformers, Transformers 2. All right, let me ask, how many of you remember the real Transformers? The animated. That's what I'm talking about. That's the real Transformers. I was very disappointed when they brought it to life. But do you remember that? And Jeremy, if you can't find my PowerPoint, all right, that's okay. That's all right. But in the old school Transformers, it was cartoon. And I remember the first Transformers came out back in September of 1984. All right? I was in eighth grade, and my brother was in sixth grade, and we faithfully watched the Transformers. And when the Transformers, they went and did their thing, and then they started having, like, insect robots and all this, and then it started getting a little out of hand. But the original, that was awesome, because you had the Autobots, you had the Decepticons, and then they started selling merchandise and stuff. And no, this is not my shirt from eighth grade, okay? But this is the Autobots. I remember wearing this shirt not too long ago, and the guy said, well, you know, the Decepticons are better. And I said, yeah, well, the good guys always win. And so then they started selling the, I guess you call them action figures, right? So like the old school action figures, like an old school Bumblebee, if you know what I'm talking about, like it only took like two or three turns and then you had the robot. Well, now that they have the new Transformers, like Bumblebee came out and he is a Camaro. And it's not like two or three steps, all right? So I buy this thing at Toys R Us, and then I gotta show you this. I was really blown away because I'm like, okay, I don't have time for this. And no, I don't really, because I don't know where I put that either. I'm batting 1,000 this morning. But here we go. This is how you make Bumblebee Bumblebee. What kid is going to look at this? I mean, it probably takes a kid 3 hours to just figure out. So it's not only 17 steps to make Bumblebee Bumblebee, but then there's like a backside to show you how to put the actual movie character into the car and stuff. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Now, when I first did it, because I was practicing, I was like, maybe I can do this in church, and maybe I can get it, you know, so I don't waste a lot of time. And And so I started doing it, and it took me 28 minutes to do it the first time. And so I said, there's got to be a better way. Read the instructions. And so I started looking at the instructions, and I got frustrated with them, and there you go. Okay, so anyway, so as I'm trying to put this thing together, you move there. There we go. Okay, but do you remember the slogan? I'm not going to sing the song, but it said, Transformers, more than meets the eye. Transformers, all right, sweet action. Somebody was watching TV and not doing their homework. But anyway, the idea here is that, you know what, Jeff, can you get this, actually? Can you put them together? Do you need the instructions? Okay, all right. Now, I need you to do that and pay attention to what I'm talking about at the same time, okay? And if you can get that, it's yours, all right? Good. Okay. So the whole point is that Transformers more than meets the eye, Transformers robots in disguise. And you're probably going, yeah, I know where you're going with this one, Jeff. But it's true. Because for those of us who are children of God, those of us who have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, there is more to us than meets the eye. Because of God's transforming love encountering us and us saying yes to Him. So this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture here in 1 John, we're going to look it at as two parts. And I want to just take 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and then we're going to go to 1 John 3, 1 to 10, okay? So if you have your Bibles and you're there, we're going to read together 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 28. It says, "And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him." So John is, again, he's an older gentleman. He's reminding the younger Christians, listen, this is what it looks like. You are a child of God. Because of God's transforming love, you are His. And so if you're following along in your outline, this morning we can say that transforming love says this, remain unshakable. Transforming love says remain unshakable. Because as a child of God, it is a privilege to be His child. And youth, I need you to help me here. Because of God's transforming love, we were dead to what?
Sin.
Say that louder. We were dead to what?
Sin.
But alive in?
Christ.
All right, so everybody, let's do that together. We are dead to?
Sin.
And we're alive in?
Christ.
So that's what God's transforming love did to us. He said, this is who you were, and because of what I have done for you on the cross, this is who you are now. And so we see that not only is it a privilege, but yet it is also a responsibility. John here affirms to us that we have confidence in Christ. Not only that, he experienced that himself. That's why he was passing it on to the younger Christians there in the early church. John also encourages to continue in faith towards the direction that you were already headed and that they were headed. And that's to eternity with God. That's where they were headed. Listen, once you are a child of God, your direction is due north. Now, sure, the process and in between, and we're going to get to that in just a second, and the journey. But yet, the beautiful thing is to live an unshakable life is to live each day as if Christ was to return today. Not just today, maybe at 11:30. And maybe, what if that was the case? What if it just wasn't, okay, I know Christ is returning, so I'm going to remain unshakable. But will we live differently? Would we really live a life as a child of God wholeheartedly if we knew at 11:30 He's returning? But we don't, do we? God's Word says we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. But what He's called us to do is live lives that are wholly devoted to Him through His transforming love. Amen? Amen. So the question we can ask then, what helps us then? What helps us remain unshakable? God's Word says in Colossians 3, 2-4, it says, "Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." In other words, John here is also saying, listen, when you meet God face to face, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You are His child. And today and now, we are the child of the King. A child of the King. John speaks of that shame when he speaks in verses 28 and 29 as those who have rejected Christ, those who did not believe in him. We do not have to be ashamed when we see him face to face. Amen? Amen. So when we live a life that is righteous, that is right before God, and we live right, it's not just a feeling, it's not just an emotion or an intention, but it's what we do with the truth that lives within us. And for those of us who are children of God and claim to have faith in Christ, we choose to consistently live right for God. Because this is an expression of a relationship that already exists. It's already there. God's transforming love changed our hearts, changed our lives. And it's that expression of a relationship that already exists. In your outline, there's a question that says, what would others say, whether it's your friends, your family, your circle of influence, coworkers, whatever it is, what would others say that changed about you after you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? If you could write one thing down, what would others say that changed about you when you made Christ your Lord and Savior? Just something to think about. You can even write it down. There's a little line there in your outline, or it's just something that you can ponder upon. I can remember, personally, my story. I went to church all my life. Mom played the piano, Dad was a deacon. We were there every time the doors were open. And when I got out of, pretty much, I was senior year of high school and getting into college, I said, I want nothing to do with church. Forget it. It's dumb, it's boring, it's rules, it's hypocrisy. I don't want it. But now I see that I walked away from God. And I'll tell you, at 7 years old, I believe in my heart of hearts, I was, I'll call it, scared into Christianity. There was a movie on hell at the church, and it was like, whoa, I don't want that. But I really believe when I moved out and I moved down to Atlanta at the age of 22, I was actually on a weekend retreat. My cousin and I, and we owned a house. And he said, listen, look, I'm trying to find girls and hook up, so there's this church down the street that they have like 200 in their singles program. Would you want to go? I said, I'll go just to keep you happy. But it was there. It was there that God showed me. He said, you know what, Jeff? You are very self-absorbed. You live for you. You make lifestyle choices that break my heart. And it was there. I truly believe in my heart of hearts at age 22. I said, you're mine. I'm yours. Excuse me. I'm yours, God. Your transforming love has changed me. And now I am someone that is more than meets the eye. Tina said to me, she said, one of the things I can tell you that changed, because a lot of times we think of the external stuff. We stop doing certain things or we become disciplined over here, which are all great. But she said, Jeff, you became softer. You became gentler. You didn't always have an answer. You didn't try to control. And that's what she said really made the difference. And so, again, this journey that we're on is still going, right? So I'm still learning too, as Steve shared it when he opened up. He said, listen, I hope in 20 more years that I'll be able to say, wow, what God has taught me. And so there's where we are. So God's transforming love says remain unshakable. So now I just want to take a few moments and look at chapter 3 of 1 John and talk about the present future. Again, living as if Christ was returning today. How would we live differently today? And so in our present future, it's almost like, how many of you enjoy road trips? All right, if I could fly all the time, I would fly. I really would, because it's like, I'm the type of person that, like, I look at the next hill, and we get over it, and I'm like, oh, shoot, keep going, or 376 miles to go. 375, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and then it's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then I'm going, no, we're not there yet. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Emily. But the whole idea is that if you look at it, like, road trips are fun because you have the stories of what happened, you know, throughout. Hey, do you remember when we pulled over and this happened or whatever? And that's the fun part. And then I think, you know, yeah, road trips probably are better because sitting in a plane, you're scrunched up, and then you have to be quiet because if you put your headphones on too loud, the next person's complaining to you, and then the next person, you know, leans on you, sleeping, whole nine yards. But the whole point is that we are not there yet. We're in the journey. We're in the present. The future is to come, but we're here now, right? So I guess what to say is that we can look at it one of two ways. We can always live in the future and never work on what God wants us to work on now, or we can live in the present as if he was never returning. So let's look at what John says to us in chapter 3. We're going to read together. It says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. Sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him." It's almost like a tongue twister, right? "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. And he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." So John was very clear as to what it looks like. And so as we look together this morning and how we can apply this is that we can say that the present future says to walk by faith and live by hope. The present future says walk by faith and live by hope. And when we walk by faith and we live by hope, it's just like taking that road trip. We stop for rest and for refreshment right on the road. Am I the only one that does that? Y'all do that? Okay. But we stop and reflect on God's incredible love for us. We understand that this was God's initiative and his power that we are born as a child of God. Again, it's what Christ has done for us on the cross and not what we can do for him. It's just like a child cannot tell its parents when it will be born. And so what we see here is that, our self-worth is based on the fact that God loves us and calls us his children. And our faith encourages us to live like Christ lived. And as Chick shared, love as Christ loved. And our hope pushes us to our ultimate destiny, eternity with God. And that hopefully motivates us to live more and more like him each day. Because one day, as John said, we will be like him. Romans 5:5 puts it this way about this hope that we have. It says, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." And that hope that we have is not just a wish, but it is an unshakable confidence about the future. So we see that our present says, walk by faith. Have that confident assurance of what God has promised. And our future says, live by hope. Because that hope will never disappoint us. So not only that, the present future says to remember who we are and become who God wants us to be. We remember who we are and we become who God wants us to be. Because who are we? For those of us in Christ, we're children of God. Children of the King. Who does he want us to become? He wants us to become more and more like him each and every day. And as God's children, as Chick even shared, that we won't live a sinless life, but here on earth, as a child of God, we don't have to be characterized by that sin. And through God's love, his transforming love, he can help us, as Chick mentioned, to sin less. Because Christ's birth, his life, his death and resurrection were all a part of his transforming love, his beautiful, wonderful, majestic plan to take away sin. And God's transforming love takes us where we are. God's transforming love doesn't say, make sure you get this right about your life. Make sure you take this out. Make sure all your bills are paid. Make sure you do this. He takes us where we're at. But God's transforming love loves us too much to leave us where we are. Remember who we are. We're children of God. Become who God wants us to be. John 3:17 tells us this: for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. He didn't come to condemn it. He came to save it. And again, God's transforming love gives us the desire to be in his word. As Scott shared last week, this is the tangible way that God speaks to us, his word. It gives us the desire to be with others in small group, to live life deeply together, to be a part of a Sunday morning, and not only that, to serve in different capacities in his church. And I think about my grandfather. He passed away, and I got his Bible, and I've shared this before, and if I have, forgive me. But one of the things he wrote in his book, in his Bible, he said, it is this book that keeps me from sin, and it's sin that keeps me from this book. But yet, if we understand who we are and we choose to become who God wants us to be, we will have that desire to be in his word, be in a community of faith, and serve him and his purposes. Remember, Jesus' main thing to come here on this earth was to do the will of the Father. And doing the will of the Father meant death. Death on a cross to save us from eternal separation from him. And the beauty of it in the present, because we understand that the future is a glorious one, but our present, God's transforming love, his ways help us overcome obstacles in our lives. The sin that so easily entangles us, the relationships that are strained in our lives, he helps us with those things. And as children of God, and I am guilty of this at times, I believe that God's Son rose from the dead. But yet I have a difficult time understanding that he will help me with any and every obstacle in my life. But I'm a child of the King, as well as you. But yet God will help us stay focused on who he wants us to become. He will give us the discipline. He will give us the love. He will give us the strength, the courage, what we need to do to make it through each and every day. John also talked about Satan, the evil one. The evil one's job is to squeeze out the life of those who want to live for him. And once we're down, it's just a matter of putting that foot right on the throat and squeezing it right out. That's what he wants to do. John, in the book of John, it also says his job is to seek, to kill, and to destroy. That's it. He's the ruler of this earth now, and if he can bring you down, he is happy. But yet, the beauty of it is that Christ's job, when he returns, is he's going to destroy it all. He's going to destroy the evil one forever. Amen? But we have to live today, don't we? But as a child of God, again, we're not sin-free. But what we want to choose is not to be characterized by that sin. John spoke of encouraging, don't remain in sin. Choose to do what is right. Choose God's ways. And when we remain in sin, whatever it is, that's the times when sometimes we refuse to confess and repent to God so that we can live victorious lives now. Because the truth is, the enemy has been defeated. Death has been conquered. We can live victorious lives. And pardon just the next analogy here, but I thought, you know, how many of you think in a pile of manure? No, good, because I don't either. I think it's gross, right? A big pile of manure. And sometimes when we continue to remain in sin and choose to remain in there, we just stand in there and we see nothing wrong with it. And everybody's looking at us like, you know, that stinks. That's gross. Why are you doing that? And we see nothing wrong with it. And yet God's transforming love says, I want to take you out of that. I want to take you out of that. Jeff, you're self-absorbed. All you want to do is live for yourself. You don't care about anybody else. You care about your way or the highway. And I want to go back in. He pulls us back out. Again, we don't want to be characterized by that sin, but yet that residue and that smell is still there. And let me tell you, the future says we will be cleaned up. And we will be like him. But the times we choose to break the heart of God and disobey, is when we want to get back in there. And we say, yeah, but it's hard to be a Christian, and it's really hard, you don't understand. But God's more interested in our obedience than our comfort, because he's got a great plan for us. He wants us to become like his son. And my own story is that I shared with you, I came to a relationship with the Lord. He is the Lord and Savior of my life. I live for him today. But yet in the journey, again, are we there yet? In the journey, God has shown me, through just taking time with one of the elders as he's taking me through this book called Measure of a Man. And that's a, I guess you call it a litmus test. We're interested in being a part of eldership here at the church. And I said to Dom, through this, what God has shown me is that I still get angry. I still want my way. And I can be mean, especially to those closest to me. But what he's shown me is that, Jeff, I want you to be gentle, because, man, you're standing in that stuff, and just it's not normal. And so the beauty of it is I'm saying, listen, if I don't ever become an elder here, that's okay. I just want to become who God wants me to be. But those times that I choose to be angry, in my way or the highway, I'm standing in it. It's not normal. And you get to the place where you say, you know what? I'm sick of this. I want to choose God's ways over my ways. I'm sick of living the way that I'm living. I'm making poor lifestyle choices. This is not normal anymore. I want to be pulled out. And God's transforming love can do that in the present and to prepare you for a glorious future. So I guess the question would be for us, if you do know that you're a child of God this morning, what steps are we taking towards who God wants us to be? Remember, the present is you are a child of the King. And the future says, be who God wants you to become. As we wrap up this morning, there was a television show called Flash Forward. And in the show Flash Forward, the whole premise is that the world blacked out for 2 minutes and 17 seconds. All right, so when everybody came, woke up again, everyone began talking around the world that they saw their future. And so what they saw in their future, they began to adjust their lives based on what they saw. Some people made poor decisions, some people made good decisions, some people made things right with others, some people made better choices. But because of what they saw in their flash forward, it changed how they lived. And so I bring that here because for those of us who are children of God, there is more to us than meets the eye. And we know what our future will be. It will be one that is glorious in eternity with God. So we see what's ahead. And what transformations are we allowing God to do in our lives right now in order to prepare for his return? And for those of us this morning who may not have that relationship with God, who may go, this is really weird. Like, this is over the top of my head. But then I have to ask you this. If you were to look into your future, if you blacked out for 2 minutes and 17 seconds, what would you see in your future? Would it be a future with God for eternity? And if it isn't that, then what is it? Because when Christ was on the cross, he saw a future. He saw a future of eternal glory. He saw a future of people having the opportunity to say yes to him and to follow him wholeheartedly. And because of that, that's for you to decide. Do you want him to be Lord and Savior of your life today? Because the truth is, that's possible in the present. Because you can allow God to infiltrate your heart and your life through the power of his Holy Spirit, and that will transform you into a child of God. Because again, he will take you where you're at because he loves you. And he loves you too much to leave you where you are. And so for all of us this morning, what would be the evidence in our lives that we know that we have been touched by God's transforming love? And finally, in light of the future, what are we doing now to live in the present? I told you that in that flash forward, that 2 minutes and 17 seconds. And in 1 John 2:17, Scott shared this last week, but I want to end with this morning. We'll go to prayer. John says this in 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away. So everything that we want to accumulate, the whatever it is, and the relationships that we have and all that, it's going to go. All the stuff, it's all going to burn up. So world and its desires pass away, But the beautiful thing John says is this, but the man, and I'm just going to add in, or the woman who does the will of God forever. There is a glorious future if you choose a relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding and believing that he died for your sins and confessing and saying, you know what? I am in need of a Savior, and I want it to be Jesus Christ today. The elders and myself will be here after the service this morning, whether to listen to you, talk with you, pray with you, or today you may say, today is the day, the present. I want a glorious future that you talk of, Jeff. We will be here to speak with you. Remember, there is more than meets the eye for those of us who are children of God, and there is a beautiful future. But God is calling us to live for him today in the present. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again just for the opportunity to do what we do each and every Sunday, is just to come together as a community of faith and to worship you through singing, through listening to your word, through different aspects. But Lord, you continue to challenge us, as Rich prayed, that we would be different than we were when we came in. Lord, may we not, as children of God, remain living defeated lives. May we begin in our hearts to believe the truth that we have. May we believe, Lord, that you have transformed us into your child, and that we would choose to live lives that are pleasing to you. And it may mean that we may have to make changes. We may have to look and reevaluate our relationships. It may mean that we have to say no to certain things. But Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that can be accomplished, because the enemy has been defeated. Death has been conquered. Lord, may we live in that. Father, we thank you again for who you are and what you have done for us. Your transforming love went to the cross. You went all the way because you saw a future. May we see that future, Lord. May we live today as if you were returning today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.